TRE Talk Radio Europe.
Well, we need Greenland for national security purposes. You get rid of that artificially drawn line, and it would also be much better for national security. Don't forget, we basically protect Canada.
Europe Today.
The Panama Canal is vital to our country.
Stephen Ritson.
Just as a general point, let's dial it down a bit here. I mean, we're talking about fairly wild hypothetical stuff.
Europe Today.
Buenos dias, good afternoon, welcome to Europe Today. It's Monday, I know, 2 minutes past 12. It's the 15th of September. Thank you, Anna Lewinsky. Anna, of course, will be sitting in for Jars for the rest of this week. As she said, no viewpoint tomorrow, but let's talk. So, Anna, Monday to Friday, 10 to 12. Gracias, de nuevo. Now, on the news just after Anna finished speaking, you heard there that Owen Cooper has won an Emmy, the youngest person in that category to have ever won an Emmy. This is like the Oscars for TV. Hello. Tonys, theatre, right? Yeah. Theatre, Tonys, Emmys, TV. And it's difficult. Because of, you know, Netflix and so on, and this, the cross-posting of the Oscars, you have to, if it hasn't changed, you have to have had your movie, your film released in a theatre, a cinema, in Los Angeles, wherever it is, the criteria is X months before to qualify. See what I mean? So you'll have some films, you know, hey, I've never heard of that. Some obscure art house Polish documentary, whatever it may be. You release it, you know, in five theatres and it qualifies. So anyway, they may change that. I mean, I don't know, they already are. But because of, as I say, Netflix et al. So there's a bit of a merging, isn't there, really, between movies and TVs at the moment. But anyway, some good news. A little Englander. Well, he's not a little Englander, but he's English and he's 15. And Stephen Graham as well. Big shout out to him, of course, for Adolescence, one of the co-writers and starring in it. You know, Scouser from Kirby, as he says. Let's just start the program. And then it's all south from here. But let's start with some good news anyway. Just some of the Emmy winners yesterday.
Stephen Graham.
Honestly, when I started these drama classes a couple of years back, I didn't expect to be even in the United States, never mind here. I think tonight proves that if you listen and you focus and you step out your comfort zone, you can achieve anything in life. Like, I was nothing about 3 years ago. I'm here now, so...
Thank you very much. I'm legitimately embarrassed.
This is Seth Rogen for the Apple TV comedy The Studio. It became the most awarded comedy ever in a single year.
By how happy this makes me. I so could not wrap my head around this happening that I literally prepared nothing. I've never won anything in my life. When I was a kid, I bought a used bowling trophy at an estate sale. And my parents were like, yeah, that's a good idea. You should probably buy that.
Gene Smart Hacks.
This is the series Hacks. Jean Smart, you'll know her. She reminds me a bit of Ronald Reagan's first wife. She was in Falcon Crest. I know, because Falcon Crest, it caught me in those years when we occasionally would Skype school to see Falcon Crest. I know.
Thank you.
And this is Hannah Einbinder, who's also in Hacks.
Wow, I was really committed. This is just, I'm thinking out loud here. I was just really committed to the, like, personal narrative that I had, that it was actually, like, cooler to continue to lose. I was pretty committed to that. Had to be, right? But this is cool, too. This is also punk rock. I just want to say, finally, go Birds. And free palette.
She said F-U-C-K, ice. Okay, yeah.
And free Palestine. Thank you.
To share your thoughts with your fellow Talk Radio Europeans on this program, you can send a WhatsApp message to the following number, +33 603 32 91 20.
Adolescence, you know, it's the guy, remember the plot? It became quite a talking point. Even Keir Starmer talked about it. I don't know if he said he'd seen it or whatever, but it's a mini-series, short, was it three episodes or something? And the plot is basically, it's a murder, and it's a kid who's in his bedroom being radicalized online. You see, you know, Tommy Robinson on Saturday, the Unite the Kingdom march, 110,000 people, something like that, big march. Then some anti-right-wing people, either the reports about, what's it, 5,000, 50,000? Anyway, far fewer of them. And, of course, the murder of Charlie Kirk last week in the United States. People being radicalized, you know, online. And so the adolescents, if you haven't seen it, you know, it's worth a watch. Certainly if you've got children, maybe daughters too, but especially sons, preteen, you know, that they're going to be teenagers. And you think the premise being you think they're safe, you know, like, well, he's not out on the street getting up to no good and hanging out with the wrong crowd. He could be hanging out with very much the wrong crowd, but, you know, in his bedroom. So that's the sort of, that's the premise of it, you know, it speaks to wider issues. It's English, it's British, as I say, Stephen Graham, Scouser-like.
This is TRE. Stephen Ritson, Europe Today.
12:09, las 12:10, just switched as I said that. Alan T, hello Alan, says, great win. You know, Alan is our resident of movie buff, among other things. Just a buff, just buff. Oh, I don't know about his physique. great win. So pleased about The Pit, major win, and The Studio. Funny thing about, you know, sometimes you're looking for a good box set, you know. So I don't even know anything about them. The Pit, is that Formula One? Sounds as though it could be, right? Giles Brown's a big F1 fan. Maybe he'll like that. If that's what it's about. The Studio, just the name sounds like more up my street. Crazy series with real celebrity appearances. And Alan says, mention Noah Wiley on The Pit. There you go, mentioned. Noah Wiley. You say, Alan says, so pleased about adolescence. And, of course, for Stephen Graham, of course, the creator from KB. And, of course, Owen Cooper, who at 15, one of the youngest in that category to win an Emmy. Julie in Eastbourne's just sent me some statistics. Yeah, he's just saying 1 million plus marched to stop the genocide in Palestine. You say they barely covered it. Well, not this weekend, obviously, but okay. 2 million marched to stop Brexit. They barely covered it. Less than a tenth threw up for a far-right riot. Non-stop coverage. The far-right thugs are their voters. Well, I'll just have a little look at that, because the implications are wider, of course. So there's basically, you know, a far-right rally. And of course, we're not all far-right. Sure, of course, 110,000 people, roughly. Let's go with those figures. There will have been all sorts of people. I mean, you could have a rally. Think about it. You know, there's a rally against, I don't know, increase in VAT or homes or childcare or the Middle East, or whatever it may be. And you get all sorts, don't you? I mean, you see certainly the left-wing ones. You see something like Socialist Worker or Marxism Today or, I don't know, some tangential thing. And, you know, you may be in favor of those things or not. And you go, hang on a minute, I'm here, you know, rallying against, I don't know, back in the day, today it might be Gaza, it might have been the Iraq War. And then I'm next to sort of like, bring on Marxism. You go, that's not what I believe in. So you always, you know, you'll have all sorts. So if you're on a left-wing rally and you see signs and you go, well, that's not what I believe. You know, are you tarred with the same brush? You'd think, well, that's not fair. You know, some of these things, and it's like, oh, say there's anti-Semitism with some people in such a rally, for example. Well, that's not me. Well, clear. So we can't have it both ways. In the far-right rally, like Tommy Robinson, well, you know, you're going to get, I mean, was it 27 people arrested? Oh, look at these thugs arrested, you know, attacking the police, and presumably with good reason. Presumably they were arrested with good reason. But if that figure, at least you say it's 50, suppose it's doubled. I mean, again, got to be fair. Out of over 100,000 people, well, I mean, you probably get, I mean, I think the Notting Hill Carnival, the, you know, the festival of love and dance and music and culture and multiculturalism, you get far more people arrested typically for different reasons, maybe drunk and violent or whatever. But so just saying, you know. To the anniversary of the Battle of Britain, by the way, the Telegraph just says today, Robert Jenrick, you know, aspiring to be the new far-right leader of the Conservative Party, quite frankly, or jointly with Nigel Farage, Robert Jenrick has criticised the neglect, his word, the neglect of British history after a poll suggested most people under the age of 40 had no idea what the Battle of Britain was. Almost 2 in 3 under 40s in Britain do not know about the air campaign against the Luftwaffe in 1940, considered to be one of the most significant British victories in the Second World War. So, of course, 1940, remember the war? Well, Britain joining September, was it, 1939 to, of course, 1945. So 1940, very early on, the Battle of Britain. Had that not been won, in quotes, then, you know, maybe the Nazis would have been able to conquer the UK pretty quickly. Bear in mind, 1940, we're talking about, not towards the end. And, you know, most of their losses and battles were on the Eastern Front against the Soviet Union. And clear, you know, you just imagine Spain's neutral, of course. They'd already taken France. You've got the Western flank sorted, let's say. Maybe the United States going, well, as the UK is lost, well, we'll stick to Japan. And then it means that the Nazis could concentrate on the Soviet Union. So, they wouldn't have been distracted on the Western Front. So all the implications, I mean, not just for the UK, of course, but for Russia. And everybody else. And in fact, on that, Pompey Gary, I can see, you know, the ominous words. Ronald Reagan said the most frightening words you'll ever hear are, "Hello, I'm from the government and I'm here to help," something like that. For me, the most frightening words are looking at WhatsApp on the screen, and I see Pompey Gary and I see the word typing. You know, you see that on WhatsApp, typing in green with an ellipsis, 3 dots there. But Pompey says, anyone who thought that was a far-right march or even a religious march as portrayed in some MSM, mainstream media called it, is living in dreamland. Free speech is obviously not accepted by some. I haven't been able to... I was busy yesterday, don't you know? Sunning myself. No, just doing various things. I went to the market. I bought tarragon. Estragon. Tarragon, you know the herb? Woohoo! I know, it's a big deal. I've mentioned before, you just can't get it. You used to be able to buy it sometimes in some shops in Germany as well. So, you know, where you get the fresh herbs, here now, I think in Germany it's the same, certainly in Spain, maybe the UK, is what are generally seem to be always available are, well, parsley, cilantro, coriander, of course, dill, mint, rosemary, romero, chives. Yeah, but you never find tarragon. So I was at the market last Sunday, a week ago yesterday, and the guy, one of the fruit and veg stores, I think probably the most expensive one. All the fruit and veg are very polished. I think I should go to the Moroccan guy around the corner. But special. And I said, "Have you got estragon, tarragona, tarragon?" And he said, "Oh no, but you know, if you come next Sunday, I can get you some." Oh yeah, because you can't find it. So then yesterday. And there'd been, you know, some socializing on Saturday. So I got up and went. And well, I'm glad I did. He had it. He said, "I thought you weren't going to come." I said, no. So, you know, €2.25, I think, whatever, I paid for a pack of it. End of that. Short answer is what for? I'm going to do it. I'm going to salmon or some other simple fish, you know, easy to cook. Fillet, already filleted with the skin still on. And the sauce. Fresh tarragon, cream, I know, not every day, I know, bit of salad. Fresh tarragon, cream, salt, and pepper. Theory, white pepper, better, hides a bit, black pepper's fine, but salt, pepper, cream, fresh tarragon, salmon, punto. There you go. So anyway, all of this palaver, then I didn't really follow the fascist. No, I'm teasing the Tommy Robinson march. But, I mean, the consequences of it will be, you know, will unfold over coming days and times because, of course, it's all linked, you see. Elon Musk piped in via video link. Charlie Kirk, of course, murdered in the United States. Well, he was referenced by Tommy Robinson. There was at least one, there would have been fewer, but more rather, portrait of him. You know, like a martyr being held up, a martyr for free speech. So it's all linked. But the Battle of Britain today, 85 years. Hang on a minute. Any old excuse, because not just Pompey, but I love a good old-fashioned movie battle theme tune. What's it called? Battle of Britain. I get them so mixed up. The Dam Busters, that was do 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 do, wasn't it? And the other classic chords. Bridge Over the Rukwai. Battle of Britain theme. Here we go. Ron Goodwin and Sir William Walton. We'll hear what Pompey's got to say. He says something on this a couple of minutes. But here's just a reminder of which particular theme. It was from 1969. Ooh, didn't even exist then. Trusty Spitfire's taking off. Quite a good colour for 1969. Come on. At least John Williams with Jaws got on with it, didn't he? I mean, he did. I can't think of any theme tune that gets on with it more quickly. All you need is... doo-dum. Oh, it's Jaws. All right, I mean, this might be the wrong clip. There we go. I'm trying to get to the middle eight, you know, the memorable bit. There we go, I guess. No, that's Raiders of the Lost Ark. This is it. Right, I better turn that off. Pompey will be out. Gary will be doing his back in, you know, because anything like that, he jumps up. Whoa, jump up. To attention, stand smart. Here he is.
Seen in a purely military terms, the achievement of the pilots of fighter command were limited. It was to avoid defeat rather than achieve a crushing victory. But it is, ultimately, in ideological terms, that the Battle of Britain should be judged. The skill and fortitude of the 3,000 men who flew in it ensured Britain's survival as a beacon of freedom and decency to inspire and rally the rest of the world. Seen in that light, the battle was a triumph, not just for Britain, but for humanity. Lest we forget.
What are you talking about? Yeah, thank you. Well, yeah, of course. Just this one, just in now, probably on the other subject du jour.
Get your theme sorted, Ritson. Just as a bit of trivia, Duxford, where the film was filmed, Airfield, which is the Imperial War Museum now, there was more damage in the making of the film. It was an active airfield during Battle of Britain. There was more damage in the making of the film than it was in the Battle of Britain.
Okay, that's a curious fact, isn't it? Thank you, Pompey. Alan says, you know, when I said of the pit, he says, Formula One, F1, what are you? Well, I don't know. It's brilliant. It's a 13-part series of a day shift on a Pittsburgh ER, so the emergency room. So Pittsburgh, the pit, okay. Wiley never won an Emmy for his role as Carter in ER. It was nominated 3 times. Anyway, we got there. And... Richard in London says, World War II is effing over. Geez, I know, but, you know, the music's still good. All of Thierry's Little England are still thinking they're in a war. Tragic, really. Hang on a minute. You leave your fellow Talk Radio Europeans alone. I just see, by the way, just some breaking news, because, I mean, it just gets better and better. Reform, you know, Nadine Dorris, vroomph, over. What's her name? Andrea Jenkins, vroomph, over. And another star... Danny Kruger. You know Danny Kruger? Sue Pollard. No, not Sue Pollard. Whoever. Prue Solard. The son of one of those TV chefs. Danny Kruger, he's very much on the right of the Conservative Party. Well, he's not now. Now he's probably, how do you describe it? He's on the left of Reform. He's moved to Reform. If I were, you know, an aspiring future Conservative leader or wanted to be, you know, engaged in helping the Conservative Party to win an election at some point in the future. And not just one, but, you know, be back, get the party back for those people. Many of the Tory grandees, many, you know, served with the likes of Margaret Thatcher, give them their party back. Then I think it's a good start. You know, Liz Truss, she should go as well. Just get rid of them. Bit of spring cleaning, you know, October cleaning, get rid of them. Well, you know, if you're far right, go to Reform. That's your natural home. So anyway, that's another one. Danny Kruger gone. What's this? One second. Here he is. So this is Danny Kruger. I mean, if you look in Wikipedia or theyworkforyou.com or .org, you can see his voting record. I mean, it fits. When I say he's on the far right, you'll see. It just, you know, ticks all the boxes.
And now our country is entering the most profound set of crises in my lifetime, under a government even worse, far worse, than the one it replaced. Crisis in the economy. Crisis at the border. Crisis in our streets. Crisis in our military. Crisis for young people. Yes, we are still a great country, and there are good reasons that so many migrants want to come here. But there are also reasons so many entrepreneurs and young people want to leave. Britain is not broken, but it is badly damaged. And so in this crisis, something's got to give. I hoped after our defeat last year that the Conservative Party would learn the obvious lesson, that the old ways don't work, that centrism is not enough, that real change is needed. But no, we've had a year of stasis and drift and the sham unity that comes from not doing anything bold or difficult or controversial. And the result is in the polls. And those lost voters aren't coming back. And every day, more and more people are joining them in deserting the party that has failed.
It might be pretty bad under Starmer that it's far, far, far worse than the previous 14 years. That's open to interpretation, isn't it? I'm being nice. It's Monday. You wait until we get to Friday. I'll have had enough by then. I mean, it's the same types, you know, Farage and Co. You know, there was bang on. You know, when people say Brexit wasn't really a very good idea, if I can put it mildly, you're just talking the country down. You're talking the country, talk the country up. Yeah, a bit convenient, right? You know, because they were slagging off the country. It goes, and many people say, oh, this issue, this, that, and the other with the UK at the moment. And some people, I know. But, talking the country down, it's broken, or it's not broken, but it's very severely damaged. Well, don't make it worse. They're not going to fix anything. Bring the country together. No, Prue Leith, thank you, Tim. Prue Leith, he's the son of Prue Leith. Wes Streeting, the health secretary, Labour, of course, has tweeted, Danny Kruger's right about one thing. The Conservative Party's over. Battle now with Reform UK, and it's a fight that Labour must win on values as well as delivery. Well, just say that again, Wes. But many people are criticising that they're playing catch-up. It's not just Kemi Badenoch and Robert Jenrick and those running after Reform. Hang on a minute, we're just as anti-immigrant as you. Vote for us. Labour, oh, well, we better get in that race too. There are the Lib Dems are not, the Greens are not, as far as I know, the SNP is not. But anyway, Reform UK, Richard says, Danny Kruger, Tory until today, Sarah for Runcorn, whatever her name is, new Runcorn MP, was traditionally Labour, working class, roughly Runcorn Bridge, the Mersey, near Liverpool, Chester, it's posh footballer land between the two. Lee Anderson, of course, 30p Lee, Tory until 2024. Richard Tice, Tory until 2019. That in and of itself is not an issue. But, you know, if Reform didn't exist, you know, you would expect. Well, I mean, you mentioned Lee Anderson. He was Labour until he was Tory, and then he was Tory until he was Reform, right? And you say, let's see, just last year, Danny Kruger was under investigation for accepting donations from hard-right Christian extremist groups, a perfect fit for Reform. Another disgraced Tory. Julian Eastbourne, thank you. Oh, just checking you're listening. Prue Leith, yep, that's right. Is Danny Kruger your part of the world? I mean, it's not obviously Brighton. You're Eastbourne. No, forgive me, along the way. Eastbourne's like God's waiting room, isn't it? The Florida of the UK, in a way. I thought Danny Kruger somewhere down said, Brighton's always quite left-wing, isn't it? I guess, I don't know, student types, a big LGBTQ community. What's her name? Caroline Lucas, the Green. She had that for a while, didn't she? Roberto in La Cala says, we have a remembrance of dam busters every time I play golf at La Noria in La Cala. The ball bounces over the water twice and manages to get over the lake's wall onto the green. The dam buster. Thank you. Right, just take another couple of comments and then we'll just have a look at the, what happened on Saturday, the Tommy Robinson thing. By the way, again, it's all linked, all related. North Rhine-Westphalia, Nordrhein-Westfalen, which is where Cologne is, where, you know, I lived for a long time. Dusseldorf's the capital, just up the road. It's the most populous of the 16 regions of Germany, the Bundesländer. And I forgot the figures, but AfD, Alternative for Deutschland, you know, the equivalent of Reform or Vox or MAGA. Or more, or worse, more to, or, you know, or better, if that's what you like. They are also creeping up. You see, it's everywhere. It's everywhere. Pompey says, the theme to Where Eagles Dare, Close to the Battle of Britain. They're all great tunes, aren't they? Cracking tunes. Isn't it remarkable? Mandelson's found out to be in the Epstein book, and rather than denying it, saying it's all fake and a Democrat hoax, but that page with Trump is described as forgery and not him. Now there's 15 fake election officials have had their case thrown out by a Trump judge. It gets worse day by day. Well, it's setting things up. I mean, you'll see with the, you know, the Charlie Kirk murder, of course, horrendous. But setting up, this is unacceptable. This is down to the evil, treasonous, treacherous Democrats or whatever they call themselves. We can't have any more of this Charlie Kirk type stuff. So it's with a heavy heart that we're going to have to slightly park the First Amendment and clamp down on these people. Many people have been sacked for stuff. All sorts of people have been sacked since Charlie Kirk's murder for saying inappropriate stuff on Twitter, on X, on social media and the like. Facebook, I guess, as well. And of course, it comes down to, well, what did he or she say? Same debate in the UK and elsewhere. It depends what it is, isn't it? If it's like, kill them all, this one specifically. Well, that would be illegal, presumably in Europe. They're more forgiving with because of the First Amendment in the United States. But saying things like, well, you know, he was saying that a few deaths is a small price to pay for keeping the Second Amendment. You know, if you have a few shootings, school shootings, well, it's inevitable, tough, you know, and sort of say, hey, karma's a bitch, isn't it? Which, of course, is a mean thing to say, but depending on the job, but whether they should do the job or not. But, you know, it's starting. Remember, well, the only one, but I want to reiterate it. The 10th of September, 2025, Archduke Franz Ferdinand, the trigger for World War One, is this going to be... I'm making it worse, aren't I? Thank you, Alan. Pompey says, talk the country up and you're called far-right racist, etc., FFS. They're not talking the country... Hello? They're slagging the country off, Pompey. They're all at it. It's disgraceful. This country is completely effed. We need to sort it out. We need to take control. We can put, you know, do we have to have elections? Let's take control and keep it white. I mean, right. Jonathan in Benavista. You're going to have an ally here, presumably, Pompey. Hello, Jonathan in Benavista.
Hello, Stephen. Yeah, I'd just like to say what a huge success. I thought the... Tommy Robinson organised rally was in London at the weekend. I thought it went amazingly well, and with only 25 arrests, which is incredible. And the numbers reported, 100,000? I think not. Probably nearer to 300,000, but you won't get that reported by the media, obviously. They want to play the whole event down.
Wait, calm down. Can't keep your hair on. I think it's the police, those figures. The police tend to... We've had it before. It's come up on the programme, so... In essence, I think, yeah, we've heard it before. So how do they work it out? In essence, and I think it works quite well, you say from a police helicopter, it could be a drone these days, but it's a helicopter. And then essentially, and the computer can do it for you. You take a snapshot, you know, you look, not where it's really thinning out or something, but, you know, your typical, go through all the streets and you take a snapshot of, for example, 9 square meters, I don't know, 12 square meters, whatever it is, not 1 square meter, presumably, or half a square meter. You take a snapshot of, say, 9 square meters, whatever, 3x3 or whatever it may be. You say, right, how many people are in those square meters? And you go, right, there are 17. And how many of those square meters in the streets are occupied? Well, 100. So you multiply it by 17 and you get 1,700. More or less. Whether it's left-wing, right-wing, Spain, UK, I guess the United States, anywhere. The organizers tend to exaggerate the figure, don't they? And then the, you know, detractors maybe tend to downplay. That's just the way it is. The police, I think, would usually, unless they have an agenda, and I don't see why they would have an agenda in this case particularly, they're probably just about the most accurate ones, I would say. And so they're saying, I said 100, 110,000. It doesn't matter. It was successful in numbers, I'll give you that. Not as many as, you know, the anti-Iraq one and others.
Well, he was in London at the weekend. I thought it went amazingly well, and with only 25 arrests, which is incredible. And the numbers reported, 100,000? I think not. Probably nearer to 300,000, but you won't get that reported by the media, obviously. They want to play the whole event down. And, of course, referred to it as a far-right, Nazi-styled event, which, of course, it was not. It was done with a party atmosphere, families, children, everybody having a good time. And as you said, quite rightly, with only 25 arrests. And we don't know if those 25 arrests were actually on the Tommy Robinson side or on the opposing rally. And the way the police, I think they took them off Parliament Bridge and kettled them onto the embankment towards the opposition, so to speak. And that's where the skirmishes took place. So it's probably the arrests were probably a mixture of both sides, I would have thought, in all fairness. And while I've got you, a friend of mine introduced me to a video, you know, the horrendous stabbing on the train of the young Ukrainian girl. Well, I believe it to the whole thing to be staged. Make up your own minds, Stephen, and listeners. But if you type in onto YouTube fake stabbing of Ukrainian girl on train, then you will see what I saw. And it's eye-opening, to say the least. They are trying to obviously put black against white. Anyway, it'll be interesting to know your opinion on this.
I'm just typing it in. We might as well, right? Because, Jonathan, with all due respect, when people say that, you know, they go, hey, listen, it's not about the money. Uh-oh, he's going to talk about the money. No. With all due respect, you know, you've sent me stuff. You're not alone. You've sent me stuff that, you know, I've checked and has turned out to be fake. And to be fair to you, listeners won't know this because it's just like, say, a WhatsApp. And I've just said to you, hey, look, check this. It's not fair. And you've gone, oh, like, my bad. Hands up. But, you know, the lies of half around the world before the truth has the chance to get its pants on, its trousers on, the phrase. And it's not that hard to check. If you see a screenshot of something that looks like an article from The Guardian, The Times, The Telegraph, CNN, The Mail, whoever, you know, that more or less MSM. Well, that's got to be true. It's not me saying it's the Daily Mail. So you forward that. And randomly, the Daily Mail, for example. It wasn't the Daily Mail at all. You know, these days, go to any online free photo picture editing thing and just have a look at the Daily Mail's font. Even ask, maybe John and Mikas, ask ChatGPT, what's the font used by the Daily Mail? You know what, we might as well, right? We're live. Random stuff. Just for what it's worth, which fonts does the Daily Mail newspaper use online? I mean, yeah. If you want to do your own fake stuff, you might as well make it original. Try and catch me out. But anyway, but the point is that so you know, if you see something like that, then go to the Daily Mail or whichever source it is you see in the thing, and just check whatever the words are. If it's a still photo, you can't copy and paste the words clearly. But just take a few of the words or the headline and then just type it in on the Daily Mail website or something and see if it exists. And if it doesn't, then you've been had. And why would somebody make it? Yeah, to stir it up. Who was it? Who knows? It could come from St. Petersburg or Peterborough. So I put in YouTube, as we're saying, Jonathan, fake stabbing Ukrainian girl train, how the system felt. For those of you who don't know, it's an awful thing. Presumably it's true, isn't it? Yeah. Is a Ukrainian refugee settled and enjoying, her, to all intents, well, reports, her life in the United States. And this is in Charlotte, in North Carolina. She's on a train, like a normal train, sitting there on her phone, you know, looking at her phone. And there's a guy, it's a black guy with long hair and a red hoodie. And he's behind her and he just stabs her randomly multiple times. Turns out the guy had, you know, criminal record for all sorts of things, including violence. The right immediately saying that the judge who allowed him out, if you like, should be imprisoned. Slippery slope there, of course. It's all linked. It's all linked to London, that, you know, it's coming to a town near you in Spain. It has in Torre Pacheco in Murcia. Remember all that bashing of Moroccans? Because there was one Moroccan guy that seems attacked an old man viciously. And so, bussing them in from all over Spain. They're coming in their coaches and cars, the far-right types. Get rid of all the foreigners. It's an agricultural town inland from the Mar Menor in Murcia. If you got rid of all of the Moroccans, the fruit would rot. As simple as that. Anyway, and also another thing came from this is that, you know, because there's video footage of this horrendous incident, of course, this terrible crime. Why didn't anybody help? It seems, if we look at some of the footage, which I've unfortunately looked at, but that some people maybe didn't even notice, but others, you know, the one question is, you're on a train, you can't just suddenly get off, you're not armed, this guy has got a knife, clearly has no problem in using it because he's already just stabbed someone. What are you going to do? Just pretend, you know, make yourself invisible, imagine, no? Make yourself invisible, and as soon as we get to the next train station, the doors open, run out, pull an alarm or something so the train can't move, so he can't escape, you know. Run out and, I don't know, press whatever alarm it is and call police help, you know, police, right? I mean, it's not the bravest thing to do, but you don't want to be suicidal. Anyway, it's just on that. But the point is, there you go. I'm seeing the New York Post, which is one of Rupert Murdoch's things, which says, new video from sickening train murder. Passengers tried to help. New footage reveals that in the final moments of her life, Irina Zarutska's fellow passengers tried to help her. The point is, Jonathan, that you've just, again, said something which there's no basis, and it's pretty easy to check out. I'm going to paraphrase Charlie Kirk now. I'll quote him directly. Prove me wrong. Thank you, Julie. Danny Kruger's East Wiltshire and Richard in London. Yeah. East Wiltshire. You also say there's nothing to suggest that stabbing of the Ukrainian is fake. Gather your thoughts, Jonathan. Put the kettle on and then come back to me with a riposte. Alan, even MSNBC sacked a seasoned journalist, Michael Dowd, for saying nothing that could be described as controversial in any sense. The US media is totally controlled by Republican oligarchs. Well, let's do the Robinson thing, and it will sort of all merge in. But what you refer to, kettling, for those of you who don't know, kettling is where the police, they don't allow people to leave. You know, they surround them and they block them into a small area. I don't know, so a riot or a protest doesn't get even more out of hand or out of hand at all. And the anti-fascist counter-protesters, I know, they're a bit of a mixed bag. Even if somebody's an anti-fascist protester, it doesn't follow that the person they're protesting against is necessarily a fascist, but the anti-fascist person would think they are a fascist, but it doesn't make them so, you know. Like if they're the far-right gang, they're all a bunch of communists. Well, there may be some of them, but, you know. So they turned out to oppose Saturday's march in London. 6 hours after they first gathered, they were trapped, surrounded on all sides by their opponents, who were kept at bay by lines of riot police. So it seems some were complaining, but the police were basically the far fewer, I don't know, it was 5,000, I can't remember what they said, of the anti-Tommy Robinson types. They were kettled, barred from leaving for hours. But it was to protect them. Some people were saying, you can imagine some of the sort of CND tree-hugging types. Yeah, fair enough. Can we not leave now? One woman said, I have a train to Newcastle to catch. I've come down here to protest against the far right. No, I've done my middle-class liberal elite thing. I have a train back to Newcastle to catch. I'm afraid not, my dear. It's not safe yet. Something like that was one exchange. So the police not having a go at the anti-fascists, in a way, protecting them from the other side or from each other, you know, just keeping them away. And of course, if they're going to kettle one group, what do you do? Do you kettle the 5,000 group? In a few streets, they're blocked off. They can't leave for some time until it's safe. You can get in a way for an exit. So you've got they're not directly confronting the Robinson types. Or do you kettle the 110,000? So in that sense, on the face of it, it seems to be a no-brainer that the police would choose to kettle him. So it wasn't the police against that group. Just, we've got to separate them. Well, that's, you know, they're easier to control, right? Riot police were erecting barricades to try and contain hostile and missile-throwing protesters. I mean, as far as the arrests are concerned, I don't have the breakdown, but I think on the face of it, they were from, the, you know, the Tommy Robinson lot. Only 25 or so. So, yeah, fair enough. That's, I guess, when they were told, like, don't let them win, don't be violent, and so on. Most of them heeded the call, but a few others, judging by the amount of empty cans of beer on the floor that, you know, to be cleaned up afterwards, I guess they weren't all sober, of course. But anyway, there are all sorts of speeches and, you know, a bit of Islamophobia for good measure thrown in. I don't know if this is going to illustrate for you, but this is just some protesters clashing with police. See? Yeah, it's people, you know, wearing the flag, either the St. George, the England flag, or the Union Jack flag, a few US flags, an Australian flag, some Israeli flags. Yeah. Anyway, that's breaking through the police. Whatever, you're always going to get, you know, bad eggs in a group, to be fair. Now, Shivani Sharma, she is an LBC correspondent. She was actually right in the middle of all of this. So let's hear what she said to Nick Ferrari this morning on LBC.
BBC.
Good morning, Nick. Well, Tommy Robinson said this was going to be the largest free speech festival the UK's ever seen, and his supporters certainly turned out in big numbers. More than 100,000 men, women and children took to the streets of central London. They were draped in St. George's flags, Union Jacks, demanding action over levels of migration, the continued use of asylum hotels and their belief that freedom of speech is at threat.
For what it's worth, as I mentioned, different flags. I see a couple of Irish tricolours, the Irish flag as well.
Now, there are a number of speakers at the rally, Nick, but the name causing by far the biggest stir is tech billionaire Elon Musk, who appeared by video link. Now, he's been championed by the likes of Tommy Robinson for highlighting the grooming gang scandal over here. But at Saturday's rally, he repeatedly said that the UK government needs to be brought down, and he seemed to suggest that people need to be ready for violence.
Whether you choose violence or not, violence is coming to you. You either fight back...
So whether you choose violence or not, violence is coming to you. Yeah, this is Elon Musk. This is a video link live to the rally, you know, through speakers, of course, in the street.
Back. Or you die.
You either fight back or you die.
You either fight back or you die.
Now, those comments have been widely criticised. The Lib Dem leader, Ed Davey, has even called for Musk to be sanctioned over it. And in close proximity to all of this going on was a 5,000-strong counter-protest dubbed March Against Fascism. And people there explained to me why they were marching.
I have a lot of sympathy with some of their concerns. There is a housing crisis. The NHS is falling to bits. I'm a mental health worker in the NHS, and children are waiting 4 years to get an autism assessment. That is absolutely disgusting. But it's not the refugees and asylum seekers that are causing that. It's because there's not enough money in the infrastructure, and people should be complaining up, not complaining down.
Tommy Robinson and the far right are trying to mobilise...
On this, I'm just saying refugees is welcome, stop the far right. A couple of trade unions, Unison, the National Education Union. I see, of course, in this crowd, a few Palestinian flags. You get the picture.
on the streets today to spread division and hatred. This is just an excuse for him to spread some of the worst types of racism and backwards ideas about blaming Muslims, refugees and migrants.
Now, 1,000 police officers were deployed on Saturday to keep the different protesters apart. But as the day went on, Nick, some of the protesters did turn violent. 26 officers injured, 24 people arrested. And the business secretary, Peter Kyle, told LBC yesterday that this won't be tolerated.
There were clearly some people there who were perpetrating far-right extreme ideology, but also violence against police. In a small number of people, those people, we will find them and they will be brought to justice. But I'm not going to tar the whole march with the same brush.
Now, the Prime Minister... has also responded. He said, "We won't stand for assaults on police officers doing their job or for people feeling intimidated on our streets because of the colour of their skin." And as you mentioned, he said, "Our flag represents our diverse country and we'll never surrender it to those that use it as a symbol of violence, fear and division."
We've heard this before, and Spain is similar in a way that the Spanish flag, the national flag of Spain, that is often used at far-right rallies, and then occasionally you'll see slip in there when you go, that's not the same coat of arms. No, that's literally the fascist one, you know, the Franco days and so on. But not everyone is on that side. John McDonnell, he is, you know, on the far left, if you like, he was Jeremy Corbyn's shadow chancellor when Corbyn was leader of the Labour Party. Here's his take on it. He's obviously very much on the... Well, not the opposite of the Tommy Robinson side, if we can put it that way.
Huge numbers turning out for the Tommy Robinson demonstration yesterday should be a wake-up call to all progressives within our society. After the banking crash, the imposition of austerity meant that in 2015 there was an opportunity for convincing people for the need for transformative change within our society. Unfortunately, the right captured that mood in the campaign around Brexit. And now the far right have captured the concerns that people have about their living standards. And they're focusing, as always they do, on a minority. And it's a racist campaign. So there needs to be a fundamental rethink now before we're driven further into the darkness. So I'm urging all progressive organisations, trade unions, political parties, civil society organisations and religious groups and progressive individuals now to think and talk together about the sort of campaign we need to tackle the rise of the far right. And yes, the organisational form that campaign should take. This is a matter of urgency now. People were terrified on the streets yesterday and now have woken up to the fact that we face an imminent danger of the rise of the far right and even elements of the far right going into government.
When he says people were terrified on the streets of London, were they? I mean, because you have it, you know, the other way as well. Oh, people are terrified of these, Palestinian demos because, you know, were they? In some cases, some people, minorities. I suppose if you look dark, you could be Muslim. For example, you know, the cliches, you could be not. You could be Hindu, Sikh or whatever. Oh, but they don't really know. Terrified. Well, you might not want to walk through this crowd. Maybe. But anyway, just flag that up.
So right now, the electricity in Spain being generated 12% from wind, photovoltaics, solar 46%, nuclear 18%.
Europe Today, presented by Stephen Ritson.
You've got France, Portugal and Morocco. You've got import and export.
Weekdays from midday.
So there you go. That'll vary. Number one is solar. Number two is nuclear. And number three is wind. So at the moment, sunshine in Spain. Vaya sorpresa. Is it sunny now? It's a bit overcast, but there are still people in the pool, so it's still quite nice and warm.
TRE.radio. Stephen Ritson.
Europe Today.
Las 12:58, 12:58. Richard says, "What? I guess you're talking about Musk. Why do all multi-billionaires look ill, sweaty, and dressed like a hobo? Must be all that Special K." It's typically, many, you know, landed gentry in the UK are in... Have you ever been to somebody's house or hall, like Downton Abbey, Downton Shabby, and, you know, holes in the jumpers and all of that? That's sort of what you do. are they? Bill Gates looks like normal. Zuckerberg went through a sort of what does Steve Jobs wear phase, didn't he? It was always the T-shirt, you know. Julie in London. Thoughts again with the cleaners of London who will have to deal with Enoch Fowle and his rivers of urine as so many of Tommy Robinson's thugs specifically decide to urinate on churches, memorials and cenotaphs. Thank you for keeping our streets clean. And it's a bunch of people peeing against a wall somewhere. Well, if there are 100,000 people, are they all going to go into Pret-a-Manger, you know, Costa Coffee? I think probably not. Dirk. Hi, Steve. Where'd all these people come from claiming the stabbing is fake? I'm speechless. Glad they probably don't vote in Spain. We'll find out in five.
Online, on mobile, on the TRE app, your smart speaker, and on air. This is TRE, Talk Radio Europe, your voice in Spain and around the world.